This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, later in the program, we will have Brad Holmes, who is Director of Choral Activities at Millikan University in Decatur. He and the rest of their choral staff and all of their choirs are presenting their annual Vespers program Saturday and Sunday, four performances total in Decatur. And we'll have some samples of last year's 50th anniversary program. Also, on this first portion of the program, Traylon Doler is the new artistic director at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. And we will meet him and hear about the Little Theater, in case you're not familiar, and also hear some samples of their next show called Nuncrackers. And if you combine nonsense and nutcracker, I presume you get some idea of what that's about, but we will find out shortly. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's music by Frédéric Chopin, a C-sharp minor waltz performed here by Vladimir Horowitz on WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. We broadcast in Danville at 106.5 FM and best heard in Champaign-Urbana, or most places in Champaign-Urbana, at 101.1 FM. I'm Kevin Kelly, and it's Live and Local. We have two guests with us on this portion of the show. John Stevens is executive director of the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois, and he has brought with him the brand-new artistic director, Traylon Doler. And so I'm actually meeting both of them for the first time. I have to tell you, I've only been to the Little Theater once.
Oh, shame on you.
I know. Isn't that naughty? But I enjoyed it very much. I want to say it was Jesus Christ Superstar quite some years ago.
Yeah, it has been quite a while ago.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't go back, because I enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed the drive, actually.
Uh-huh. It's a nice little drive. It's only 50 minutes from Champaign-Urbana.
Is that what it is? I knew it was. It was less than I thought it was going to be.
Right through Amish country and stop along the way and have Amish meal at Yoder's Kitchen in Tuscola and come on into Sullivan.
I may even have done that.
Yeah.
Well, let's clear up one thing right from the start, something that I learned only when I got there, and that is that the Little Theater is not named Little because it's little.
That is correct.
It's named Little for a person.
It is. Guy Little Jr., who was a man from Sullivan, when he was 21, it was his dream of opening a professional theater. He'd been to college at the University of Miami and came back, and there was a movie theater in town, the Grand Movie Theater, built in 1928 as a silent movie theater, and in 1929 started talking pictures. But Guy rented the theater from the gentleman who owned the theater because that man had a drive-in movie theater that he ran during the summer and closed the theater during the summertime. And Guy did 9 musicals in 9 weeks in 1957, which
is insane.
You
couldn't do that anymore.
No. Equity would kill us. Yeah.
Well, for many more reasons than that, nobody would go.
Yeah, this is correct.
That's right.
Or at least not as many people would go.
But it has been named the Little Theater ever since. Actually, it was officially named the Little Theater in 1963, and it was just the summer of musicals before that.
So it's been around then?
Officially since 1957, closed in 1980, and reopened as a nonprofit organization in 1981. And Mr. Little hasn't been affiliated with the theater officially since 1980.
But he's still around?
He is still around. Comes to every performance.
Performance. I was going to say, I don't think, I don't know how many of us could attend every single performance as much as we like the theater. But it is, in fact, not a very large theater physically. It's an intimate space.
Yes.
Both the stage and the theater itself. And
422 seats.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And a 30-foot proscenium. It's 27 feet deep. And it amazes me the things that they are able to put on that stage.
You mentioned Equity. For those who don't know, that's essentially the Actors Union.
Correct. Right. Actors and Stage Managers Union.
And in this community, I imagine Equity has different strengths in different communities. It's like the Musicians Union in certain communities isn't particularly strong, and so hardly anybody joins, whereas in others you don't get any work and otherwise. Is that true for actors as well? Or does that depend on the theater more?
It depends on the theater more. We are the only self-producing equity theater between Chicago and St. Louis, Indianapolis and Kansas City. So most of the equity players are, you know, centered in the Chicago area, New York area, but there's equity members all over the United States. So we pull from all over the United States, but they're really strong in those big major metropolitan areas.
So when you say you're an equity theater, that means if you want to act there, you have to be in the union?
Not necessarily. We have to have a certain amount of equity contracts per show, and we have to have an equity stage manager with every show that we produce.
Does that necessarily mean that the resulting product will be, for lack of a better term, more professional than and maybe higher quality than something that doesn't have, is not an equity house?
That's what the goal is with it. And I think that we prove that.
Absolutely. And we also use it as a, one of the missions of the theater is to use it as an educational experience as well. So what we're able to do is give college students, they can come for the summer and work alongside actors who've been, you know, working professionally for years. So they leave having a richer sense of what it's like and what their future can hold.
And they earn points towards their equity card. You get a point for every week that you work at an equity theater. And once you have 50 points, you can join the union.
So how many shows currently does the Little Theater do in a season?
Well, in the summer season, we do 5 main stage and 3 children's shows. And then we have 5 main stage shows in our off season, which is October through May. And 2 children's shows.
That's interesting that you call it the off season, because for most area theater companies, well, maybe not even most. For some of them, that's the on season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly any university affiliated thing, but also some of the other professional theaters. And a mix of drama and musicals, or usually musicals?
Mostly musicals, but that may be changing. We're in a new era and hopefully going to give our audiences some new things. I'm really excited to have Traylon on board because he's not set in just doing one thing. He's very versed in directing every type of show, and I'm eager to see what he can bring to the stage for us.
Before I ask a similar question of Traylon, John, how long have you been affiliated with the theater?
I'm going on my 5th year at the Little Theater on the Square. I started as the director of marketing and moved my way up and have been the executive director for, I was the managing director for a year and a half, and in October became the executive director.
So you've got a reasonable idea of its at least recent history.
Yes.
And all the things that go on. And Traylon, you're new as of when?
Well, I signed my contract today.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I was hired November 15th, officially. But I've directed for the theater for 3 years now.
For the Little Theater?
Yeah, for the Little Theater.
So you said you did sign your contract, or you will sign your
contract? I will, after this.
Okay, so...
I am official.
We have a person who's actually not on the microphone, who is sitting in the room, who said she is judging the two of you.
Yes.
That's what she's doing.
Will this have anything to do with whether you actually can sign the
That's
contract?
That's right. It depends how I do today.
He has to be bubbly and cute on air.
Well, we'll do our best to allow you that opportunity. I am Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and we're talking with John Stevens, who's executive director at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan, and Traylon Doler, who is the brand new, not quite, artistic director at the Little Theater. What does it mean to be the executive director versus the artistic director?
That's a good question. We're finding that out as we go along. Our past artistic director wasn't present on site all the time. So my job, I did a lot of both artistic things and financial things, but now I'm going to be able to focus on the fundraising and the financial aspects and keeping the physical parts of the theater running.
And so the artistic director then.
As artistic director, I pick the season with John, of course, and, you know, talking to the board about it. I'll select the shows that we do and hire the directors and designers and actors. And then each summer I'll direct 3 of the 5 main stage shows, as well as directing the Christmas show every year.
So the three in the summer and then one in the quote-unquote off-season.
Right.
Yes.
Your off-season. And then choosing the other folks, is that also your realm to choose the directors?
It is, yeah. I hire the rest of the directors.
So talk about a little bit about your experience as a director at the Little Theater, which you said you've done for how long?
3 years.
3 years.
The first show I came out, I originally was just going to choreograph a production of La Cage for the theater.
La Cage au Fall.
Mm-hmm, which was my sixth production of the show. I normally directed and choreographed it, but the director was unable to do it, so I ended up doing both duties on the show. And fell in love with it and had a great time. And then, thankfully, they asked me back the following summer. And since then, I've directed four shows for the Little Theater, five, including I did a Christmas show for them last year. And it just went from there. The more time I spent, and the more I wanted to be there and stay and be a part of it.
Where else have you been as a director and as an actor for that matter? Assuming that you're also an actor.
I am not also an
you
actor.
You are not an actor.
I am not. I retired.
He retired.
But you were.
I was. Actor. Yeah. I'm also the resident director for a theater in upstate New York. I actually live in New York City. But there's a theater in upstate New York that I work for, directing usually 2 to 3 shows a year for them as well. I've worked in Idaho. I've worked in Florida. I've bounced all around.
Arizona.
And how does the Little Theater stack up in a number of different, any way you want to talk about it?
There's a couple things that are great about it. One is the history behind it. The fact that it's been around for 50 years, it's solid, it's strong in the community, in the area, people know about it, and it has a reputation. So I find that really helpful and exciting. I also feel like they've created a strong sense of community within the people that work there. By this, like I was saying earlier about training the next crop, we're seeing people come back and they've grown or they come back in new positions. You know, they start out as somebody who's helping paint the set and then they come back years later,
as
a designer. So through that kind of history and that education part of it, it's great to see people growing and becoming better. And there's people that have worked there that are now on Broadway, and which is exciting.
Our biggest success story probably currently is Sierra Boggess, who was a Millikan University graduate, came to Little Theater and earned her equity card at the Little Theater, and went on to star as Christine in the Phantom Spectacular in Las Vegas, and then went directly to New York to be Ariel, the Little Mermaid, in Disney's The Little Mermaid, and now is getting ready to debut as Christine in the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, Love Never Dies, under Andrew Lloyd Webber's pen.
I don't know if I knew that was happening, or has it happened?
It is happening, coming out, I think, in the spring.
Yeah.
And what do we hear about it?
Nothing. It's completely tight-lipped.
Wow. It's set in Coney Island.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
It is. It is.
The Phantom comes over to the United States and runs a theater there, and Christine comes through.
It almost sounds like Dracula comes to New York.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
Something like that. Well, yeah. But that's a whole other topic. it's interesting. There's been a lot of both actors, singers. I'm thinking particularly singers here at the University of Illinois who have gone on to great things. So this community, and Millikan University, I know, has produced a number of people. And this community really produces some pretty serious talent.
Well, that's part of what our mission is as well. We have a huge education program as well. We have about 250 students in our dance and drama classes. We have 34 classes in dance and drama that are taught every week. And we train those kids in how to be a professional and to make sure that they find that love of theater that we have. And our goal is to inspire them to want to go on to bigger and better things and to be a part of the community that we're in.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because I was going to ask you about that. I know somebody that I've worked with in the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company here who I believe is one of the folks who works in dance for your education
Heather Johnson.
Program. Heather Johnson.
Yeah, she's our director of education.
Yeah.
And has worked with us. This is her second year full-time at the Little Theater.
So does that draw on people in the immediate area, larger
from
area?
From like a 60-mile radius,
really?
People come. I mean, we have quite a few coming over from Champaign-Urbana to take classes at the Little Theater, which I would think would be a trek to take my kid, you know, 50 minutes to dance class, but they do.
Well, but that says something because people are only going to drive that far if they feel like they're getting something out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I assume that doesn't mean they drove once and decide, I'm not doing this again.
They keep coming back.
They probably tell other people about it. John, you mentioned, I think, earlier that the previous artistic director was not resident.
Correct.
And Traylon, you said earlier that you live in New York.
I do. I'll be here from May 1st through the end of August every year.
Okay.
And then back whenever I need to come back, I'll be, you know, in and out through the rest of the year.
So I guess with anything you can do, email and phone calls and so on. But, you know, John, you indicated that your job changes when you don't have a resident.
Correct.
But so he was the other person, he, she was not resident even as much as Traylon is going to be in the summertime.
He was here about 3 weeks a year.
Wow.
And 1 week of that was casting and would maybe direct a show every summer. And it was a lot of email, a lot of phone call, phone tag, and a lot of decisions that I had to make that really shouldn't be my job because there's so many other facets to my job that filled the day and night as well, that it's going to be so wonderful to have someone that I can go, it's your show, buddy. Go for it.
Yeah, do it. I'm sure Traylon, that had to have been an interview question for you, but you must have a better idea now that you're about to sign the contract. What things do you see that you might change about what's going on there, or at least what vision do you have for what the Little Theater can become versus what it now is?
That actually was an interview question.
Sure.
One of the things that I really want to see for the theater is there's a tier of theaters, especially summer theaters, that are considered a upper level of summer theaters. And I feel like Little Theater's on the brink of that. And that happens with bringing talent in from New York, which is one of the things we're doing. This will be our first year of doing auditions in New York. That definitely makes a difference. And it's creating a buzz outside of Sullivan. And also in Sullivan is one of our big goals. It's shocking how many people in the area don't come to the theater, of people who actually live in Sullivan. So one of the things that we're really excited about doing is getting people talking about it and excited about theater and excited about going to the theater. We're doing that with bringing some actors that have been in Broadway shows are going to come out and do some shows with us. And we're going to do it by going out into the community, hopefully, and doing some performances in the community. That's one of the things that I'm excited about. And also, we want to step up the level of the product. The shows are great and they're strong, but there's definitely ways we can make them more exciting for the audience.
Do you usually fill up the house?
We average about, I'd say, an 75 to 80% occupancy. That's not really the right word. Level of tickets sold. So that's really very good, in my opinion. That's what we strive for, and we hit our goals 90% of the time.
And you typically do about how many performances of a show?
15.
15. So
yeah.
Well, that's a lot of seats to fill.
Yep. Yeah. 100 seats is the possibility of what we can sell, and we usually sell over 5,000.
So you said you're gonna be doing some auditions in New York.
We are, yeah.
How have auditions been handled previously? And I assume they'll be in New York and at the Little Theater and elsewhere.
We've been doing them in Chicago, and then a big regional audition in St. Louis.
And then a Sullivan audition
as well. Audition. So we're just adding New York to that, which will be great because I have a lot of ties there. So that's one of the things we were excited about is bringing people that I've worked with there out here.
Does that suggest that you're going to have to up the budget in order to afford New York actors, or not necessarily?
Well, right now they're going to do it because I hired them before they were famous. So now we're not going to, but eventually we would like to, of course, be able to, you know, do that.
But I think we compete very well with many of those theaters in Chicago and in New York with our pay. I mean, you're not going to get rich doing theater by any means, but we're very competitive with pay of other theaters. Well,
but you hope you're going to make a living.
Yes,
absolutely.
And that's part of being an equity theater as well, is we have certain pay scales that we have to meet. And we exceed the minimums of every pay scale that we do.
We'll come back in just a moment with Traylon Doler, Artistic Director of the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, and John Stevens, who's the Executive Director, and we'll talk about their upcoming show, which has the wonderful title of Nuncrackers. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And once again, we heard Vladimir Horowitz, music by Frédéric Chopin, his E major etude on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And coming up, we will have some performances by the choirs at Millikan University from their 50th anniversary Vespers program, which was last year. They're going to give their 51st this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Millikan University in Decatur, and I'll be talking with Brad Holmes, who's the director of choral activities there, in the later portion of this show, and hear some of that recording. The choirs there are really quite fine. But from Chopin, we go to Nuncrackers, which is the next show at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan. My guests this portion of the program, John Stevens, executive director at the Little Theater, and Traylon Doler, who later today will officially become the new artistic director of the theater. So, Nuncrackers. All right, obviously nonsense plus nutcracker, but what does that mean, really?
Well, it's a rehash of all the nonsense shows with a holiday twist. Usually the nuns are always in trouble and need of money for some reason. I think that they had some nuns die and they threw them in the freezer until they can afford to bury them. And so they decide to turn the basement of the convent into a public broadcast TV studio.
Oh, how appropriate.
Yes.
Yes.
And they do everything from home shopping club where they sell salad shooters, to some entertainment with the kids from the school that they teach at, to a cooking show with a priest dressed up as Julia Child, and he gets a little drunk on the cooking sherry. So everything plus more. It's really a very cute show. And, of course, the Nuncracker Suite as well.
The Nuncracker
the
Suite.
Yes, they call it the Nuncracker Suite. It's nuns and habits and tutus and on-point shoes, in fact.
Habits and
tutus, yes, and point shoes.
Okay, I'm writing down the dates of the show, which are?
The 11th through the 13th and the 16th through the 20th.
And that's not each of those nights?
Yes. And on Fridays and Saturdays, both the 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock show, 2 o'clock show on Sunday. Wednesday, there's a 2 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show, the 16th, the 17th, just an 8 o'clock show. The 18th, a 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock on the 19th, and 2 o'clock on the 20th. On and on and on.
And if you've lost track of that, it's thelittletheater.org.
You can visit our, yes, it is, absolutely. Our brand new website we just launched 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, it's pretty informative, and it operates relatively quickly. Because I realized that I had not pulled off the information before this interview. So I printed out very quickly. But it didn't make any difference because I promptly left it on the printer.
That's
so
okay.
This conversation,
you can see video clips from the upcoming shows that we have and read my blog, which I haven't updated yet today. So,
but that's something you do daily?
If not every other day, daily, yeah.
And is that something that Traylon, you're going to be contributing to?
He will be. He just doesn't know it yet.
So.
It's the line item in his contract that he's going to sign later.
You better read that thing.
I bet. Backwards and forwards.
And see what else turns up. So is that does that all add up to your usual 15 shows then?
There's actually 15 only performances. 14 performances of this one.
Close.
The summer is when we usually have our 15 shows. And our off-season shows usually just run 2 weekends for 10 shows. And we've extended our Christmas show out because it sells so well for us to the 14 shows.
And price range?
$30 tickets for adults, $28 for seniors and children. And then we have group discounts for 20 or more and even less off for 60 or more.
Is this a family-friendly show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you don't get any friendlier than the nonsense shows.
Well, you just I've only seen one of them, and I'm actually trying to remember if what was in it. But, you know, people can be offended by who knows
what. Absolutely.
They can be offended by the entire concept.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And we have those, but it's all in fun. And that's the beautiful thing about the art of theater is that it can be my favorite show and Traylon's least favorite show, but we both walk away knowing that when we're done with it and can subjectively talk about that.
So if, you know, if you, John, decide to pitch a show to Traylon that he just hates, who wins?
Me.
What? Have I just started something?
Yes.
No. It's been nice because we have very similar tastes in things. And that's one thing that I'm so interested about having him here is that he has great ideas and is bringing lots of new things to the table, which I'm very hungry for and excited to see what he's going to bring us.
So you'll be the one who needs to have the open mind.
Yes.
Sounds like.
That's right.
That's the plan. Anyway.
That's the plan.
Well, I'm very glad you were able to come by. You were in Decatur earlier today, and you were in Bloomington also, so
yeah.
You've made the rounds here.
Yes.
We went to see our touring show. We have an educational touring program as well. This was their 60th show today. They're doing Schoolhouse Rock Live, and they were at an elementary school in Bloomington, and we went up to see it. It's a really fun show. Next semester, we're touring that show as well as a brand new show called Frankly Ben, about the life of Ben Franklin and about his inventions that he made. But it's a like total rock and roll show, a really, really fun show.
Do those shows tend to tour this
They go to
area?
Schools throughout about a 2.5-hour radius of Sullivan.
And so they're just basically open to the kids who are
Yep.
Students.
Boston
students
or whoever
yeah.
they get there. Okay.
Yeah.
So not the public can't sneak in.
Well, we do a couple of public performances of it at the Little Theater, but we don't charge for it. We do that and take donations of canned food and give to the local food pantries for things like that. So.
Well, we'll have to have you back up if you're
Absolutely.
on another tour.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of the area, and then talk about some of those things because
Absolutely.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Well,
thank you for having us.
Appreciate us, you having us on.
John Stevens is the executive director. Traylon Dohler, the new artistic director at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. And they are putting up Nuncrackers. Sorry. From December the 11th through the 20th. There's a gap between the 14th on the 14th and 15th. If you want more information about that show and all the other shows, and you can also read a nice bio and see a picture of Traylon. It's thelittletheater.org, and that's theater spelled R-E. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible by the Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting the Nutcracker with Sinfonia da Camera at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts.
But no nuns.
No nuns. December 4th through the 6th, tickets to CU Ballet's The Nutcracker are available at the Krannert Center. Those were the combined choirs at Millikan University. Performance of a piece called Ecce Novum is actually by an anonymous 16th century composer. And that from the 2008 Vespers at Millikan University, an annual event for the last 50 years. That was their 50th anniversary event. And the 51st is going to be this weekend in Decatur. Performances on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and also on Sunday, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the campus of Millikan University in Decatur. My guest for this portion of Live and Local is Brad Holmes, who is the director of choral activities at Millikan. He also directs the university choir there, which is the top choir, and really has a fine national reputation. And alas, I've only heard recordings thus far, but from everybody I've talked to, very knowledgeable about the sound of that group. They are extraordinarily complimentary, and you'll hear a few more examples of the choir in combination with the other choral ensembles at Millikan. I started out our conversation, which actually took place yesterday afternoon, by simply asking Brad Holmes to give us a brief history of Vespers at Millikan.
It's, you know, we're in our 51st year, so it's something I really inherited when I came to Millikan 19 years ago. My predecessor, Dick Coughlin, began this. It's kind of a great story. They sang for 126 people in our small theater, and he sort of started a vision, not unlike what you see in a lot of places, but I think it's a, I think it just kind of has a special spirit to it. It involves so many of the students. We have about 325 performers, and so it kind of captures the spirit of the campus a bit. And so when he started that, and we just sort of wondered where it would go. It moved into our large auditorium back in the 70s, and then right before I came here, they moved it to two performances to accommodate a growing audience. We now have four performances, and we'll sing for almost 7,000 people this weekend. So it's just a thrill to be a part of that kind of opportunity. To you know, the students love to sing for that kind of numbers, and the community and the region and the area around Decatur seem to be drawn to the event, and so it makes for a great family event and a good start to Christmas for a lot of people. And last year we celebrated the 50th. Dick Coughlin's wife, who still lives, came back and participated with us and played. Great musician. He's passed on, but I'm sure he was looking down and grinning to see us all together. And we just had a terrific event. And I think it sparked some new interest in some way. So we seem to be our ticket sales are better than they've ever been, and we just we feel like people are renewed in their desire to see it. So well, that's kind of the quick history.
I've not attended myself so far, but I've heard of it, a number of times as being quite an event and quite a community draw, as it obviously is from the numbers that you said that you have. I mean, 7,000 people is a lot. The first time I heard of it, Vespers, I related it to a church service because I have a choir in the Episcopal tradition, and that's a particular kind of service there, and I guess in the Catholic Church especially. So why don't you describe the event itself? I mean, is it a service?
Well, it isn't a service in the truest sense of the form, but I think those people that understand that tradition experience it as such. It in its past had readings and texts and really it's become just a musical event now, but for those who have some background, they'll understand some of the underlying things that happen, there's certainly a story. The music doesn't, it's not just a heap of music from the season. It's it follows a storyline and in some ways retells the story just with music. And it doesn't have a strong liturgical component now, but there certainly are some references in just the music itself, and clearly we're drawing on music from 5 centuries, so it's going to dip back into music that was used in the church for this time of year, and then there will be contemporary things and carol arrangements and all that. It is all an all sacred music program, so in some senses the term Vespers still applies, but for the most part it's not a service per se.
And you're calling this year's Vespers this wondrous day, this shining night. That's a specific reference to Christmas.
It really is. It's actually a reference to the Latin text built around the word Odie. In fact, we wanted to theme this this event Odie, which is you spell that in English letters H O D I E. And we just couldn't envision, for the people that don't know what that means, we couldn't envision titling the Vespers Odie. So we searched for an adequate translation. The most common translation is today or this day. And of course, it's drawn from the text and the chant that is sung on Christmas Day in the ancient church, and that's the text is Odie Christus Natus Est, which means today Christ is born. But it means more than today. It means something singular about this day, something transformational about the day. And as the text of that chant proceeds, you keep hearing this word Odie, Odie, Odie. It's almost like a trumpet fanfare, even the way it sounds. And so we built a theme around that word, and you'll hear that text throughout in some old settings and some new settings, and then we just drew on that idea of this particular day, what was transformational about it, why this day, and not only this day in history, but this day in our own experience and our own personal lives. So it's a very interesting theme. We couldn't translate it any other way than this wondrous day. And then, of course, part of the way through the event, we take time to be more reflective, and that's where this shining night came. And we do a wonderful setting on this this text that it's called, known as "Sure is this shining night." Sure on this shining night. Which actually isn't a Christmas text, but it's a perfect text for that moment. And so we sort of built that into the theme. It's a little convoluted, I'll admit, but I think it's a wonderful, wonderful theme, really. And people who are aware will really be, I think, captured by the idea.
Is that the Samuel Barber piece you referred to?
It's actually not Samuel Barber. It's a newer setting. It's a Morten Lauritsen setting, which is luscious but right, same text.
You're listening to a conversation here on Live and Local between myself, Kevin Kelly, and Brad Holmes, who is Director of Choral Activities at Millikan University in Decatur, about their Vespers program, which is happening 4 times this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at the Millikan University Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. And here is a sample from last year's 50th anniversary program. I'm not sure which of the choirs this involved, not credited here, but it's a Caribbean carol called A King Is Born Today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
applause well deserved for that performance by the choirs at Millikan University from their 2008 50th anniversary Vespers program. That was Morgan Ames' setting of a Caribbean carol called A King Is Born Today. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Let's continue with our conversation from yesterday afternoon, actually. I had with Brad Holmes on the telephone at Millikan. He is the director of choral activities at Millikan University and conductor of the university choir there. Who are some of the other composers who we might recognize and maybe some of the ones we won't that you're particularly excited about?
Well, we'll do some things from the distant past, everything from anonymous chant to we'll do a little Hostler late Renaissance kind of piece that opens the subject. We'll do some Vaughan of Birth. We'll do some Vaughan Williams, bit of his Mass in G, the Kyrie. Will provide sort of a framework for Advent kinds of things. We'll sing some things that have just been written, a couple just knockout pieces, including a couple of things by our own staff that are just fabulous. Randy Raymond will contribute some instrumental things. Mike Englehart has we end the concert, not quite at the end, with a gospel tune written for women that is just over the top. And in the middle, we'll do a piece by Robert Parker, another setting of Odier. Sounds a little bit like Vaughan Williams. That's very exciting with all the choirs. James McMillan, brand new composer, who's famous now for his orchestral work, will do one of his rare choral pieces that's just spectacular in its attempts to depict the life of Christ. And it's just a really varied program. Along the way, we'll stop and the whole audience will join us in carols as the choirs move and shift to new places in the hall. And maybe that's the thing that's so attractive about the event is the choirs surround the audience the entire time. And so many people talk about how they feel like they're sitting inside the choir as they experience the music. They're not observing. They're literally living inside of the choir. And so when it comes time for them to sing, it's just easy to do because voices are cascading down on top of them. And as a conductor, you turn around, you see 2,000 people, and you just think, okay, big chorus, and everybody goes. And it's 16 brass join us, and organ, and it's just it's big sound. So it's a lot of fun.
What are the choral ensembles involved?
There are five choirs at Millikan, and so they'll each take their turn in a part of the story, and then, of course, we'll do combined things periodically throughout to sort of punctuate the evening. So those we get some chances at antiphonal effects as they're singing from balcony to balcony. The five choral directors that we have here are just they're just spectacular people with tremendous talent. I honestly think we have the best choral staff in the country. I don't know another school our size that has five people whose real passion is choral music. And I want to just mention them. Guy Forbes, his colleague that's been here about 15 years, we've done a lot of his music. He's being published nationally now, and is really getting a name for his work. Ted Hesse, who's been here about 8 or 9 years, I guess, maybe it's going on 10. And he grew up in the Millikan program and came back and does great work here with the men's choir. We had 75 boys singing in the men's choir this year. Mike Englehart, who's also a local guy, a Millikan grad, will do one of his pieces on Sunday. Fabulous musician. And Beth Holmes, who returns after a hiatus of 10 years, leads the freshman women. So five different conductors all having a turn at the choirs.
So Guy Forbes has the chamber chorale then?
Correct. Guy Forbes has the chamber chorale, and Ted Hesse takes the men's choir. Beth Holmes takes the freshman women, Millikan women, and Mike Englehart the upper class women, called the University Women's Choir. And then I conduct the university choir, which is the top mixed ensemble.
And there are going to be how many people involved in this whole thing?
Well, you're going to have about 325 performers all in all. So it's an opportunity to make a lot of sound.
It sounds really wonderful, and I was going to ask you earlier about the experience of it, but I think you described that well, with just feeling like you're surrounded by all of this music.
Well, I think that's what people are drawn to. When we broke the proscenium wall and came off the stage, I think people stopped looking at it as something to observe, and maybe in that sense it is more like a service. It's not something to be observed; it's something to participate in, and I think there's a real attractiveness to people about that opportunity.
Brad Holmes, director of choral activities at Millikan University in Decatur, talking about their Vespers program this weekend. Twice on Saturday, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and also on Sunday, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. That conversation took place yesterday afternoon, and I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Coming up, weather forecast and news headlines. News headlines begin at 1:01 from NPR. And Julie Amacher in with, I believe it's Julie, in with classical music for you at 1:06. Here's another tune from the 2008 50th anniversary Millikan University Vespers program with the combined choirs in a work by Eric Whitaker called Lux Aurumque. Choirs at Millikan University in Decatur, music by Eric Whitaker, Lux Aurumque. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll be back tomorrow with a live performance in our studio by the combined Bossa Nova and Tango Nuevo group, which calls itself Bossa Nuevo at the University of Illinois. Our program today is made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting audiences with an exciting January schedule of events featuring the Moscow Festival Ballet, Kronos Quartet with Wu Man, and Michael Rouse. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. It's going to be cloudy with rain showers, occasionally mixed with a few snowflakes this afternoon. Temperature steady to slowly falling. And tonight, cloudy, windy, and colder. Showers of mixed precipitation changing to light snow. Little or no accumulation is expected, the low 28. Tomorrow, cloudy and colder with some flurries, the high 36. We're at 40. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana.
From